Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Mr. Crass and Garth on Thursday, the 20th of March, 2014. I'm Mr. Crass. Garth, how are you going today?
Good, good. Just had some very nice rain. It's been warm, very sweaty. But
well, that's just global warming, Garth, so...
That's just global
warming. Go back to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I guess that's why they're spraying all these chemicals on us, isn't it?
Yeah,
this global warming thing, yes.
I'll get into that a bit today.
Yes, good.
All right, we'll get stuck into this, Garth. If folks would like to get this podcast, please go and subscribe and download on iTunes. You can also get this podcast from Podomatic. Send us an email if you would like to thecrassfiles@yahoo.com.au. And you can log on to thecrassfiles.com. That is always C-R-A-Z-Z. To have a look at all the links and stories going up there. Just I was listening to a great interview in the week, Garth, just on geoengineering, these guys were talking about all these particulates, you know, that they're gathering from the rain in the United States, all these heavy metals that we know about.
Yes.
That are coming down in the water and the soil, and they're getting them analysed in these in Europe, in these labs, and it's coming back, you know, tenfold. They're having them done dozens of times, and it's saying, of course, what we know, we have all these terrible heavy metals, like barium and aluminium, and in these things. But what was interesting, and this guy was talking about fluoride, Garth, has been found in these chemtrails. I don't know what in what sort, in what form, but definitely these high concentrations of fluoride are being sprayed on us. So I guess, you know, if you don't want to drink it in the water, they're just going to spray it on you. But I found that quite funny. I kind of heard that before, but it's interesting that they've proven it now conclusively through these tests. You know, this stuff's going everywhere, and with the fluoride as well, we're breathing in. I thought that was very interesting. So they're getting these very specific tests done in these labs over in Europe, and they're, you know, they're coming back with this, that there's these high concentrations of these toxic metals in there, which cannot be good for our health. You know, but the public's not really into this, Garth. And he's also saying, Garth, that these new airplanes now, these new airliners, they have these filtering systems in their jet engines and stuff, you know. You know, so you're not going to leave any condensation trails, contrails anyway, really, with these new planes. They, you know, so he's saying that all these things that you see in the sky are these chemtrails now. And as we always talk about these, most of the young people being brought up now, you know, they don't even know what a cloud is, so they've got so good at it, you know. We don't know what's what. I think I can tell when you get the fluffy, normal clouds when they roll in from the south when we get a storm. But generally, this sort of spider-webby type stringy clouds we seem to be getting every day, and this haziness is a manufactured thing that's been going along, you know, a very long time now, and people are starting to associate that with total normalcy. But it is anything but. But interesting on the fluoride in the chemtrails, Garth.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you're still there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to continue there. You just sort of gave me a bit of a thing there. On Russell Blaylock was talking about that, because he's changed over to the chemtrails as well. As you know, Russell Blaylock, Dr. Russell Blaylock, is a neurosurgeon, one of America's top neurosurgeons, and he was into the fluoride bit, explaining to people how it affects their brains, and particularly in children. But he's come over, he's very interested in the chemtrails, because it's the same sort of stuff that's not only in the vaccines, which he also was talking about, in the fluoride and also in the chemtrails. But what he was talking about, which I found interesting, was that they're able now to create these nanoparticles, which will actually go through your skin.
Yeah.
They'll go through your clothes, through your skin, and he said they're straight into your bloodstream, which means it goes directly to your brain. And he was explaining all of the diseases that are caused, which there's a huge list, I won't go into that, but there's a huge amount of effect on our brain, and it overheats our brain. And it's causing all these problems like autism, which you spoke about last week. So Russell Blaylock is, you know, a top neuron surgeon, and he's been battling this for many years now. And it's not only him; he's got quite a caterer of people there, highly educated, established scientists and people who are actually finding all this out and agreeing, you know, they've formed this group and they're actually doing all this good work, because he's traveling around the world talking to people, trying to tell them that, you know, buddy, you know, we've got some problems here, because they keep spraying this, we're dying. And yeah. He actually called it criminal.
Oh,
usually these guys, they don't get into the politics of it, but he agreed with the host, with the guy that was, I can't think of his name, that was doing the radio show, but he actually agreed with him. He said it's criminal. He said this sort of stuff should not be sprayed. Of course, you know, we know that, but as I said, a lot of these people, they go into the science, but they don't go into the politics of it because of the reverberations that come back on them all the time, so they stay away from that. So anyway, but he didn't muck around. He said, yes, it's criminal, and these people should be locked up.
Well, looking at also, Gus, we are being exposed to these high levels of cadmium, which is in these chemtrails as well, which is, if anyone wants to look that up, it's deadly to the human system. It's deadly to our kidneys, and it's rotting our skeletal system as well, Garth, and I guess our respiratory system as well. And that is in those sprays, and it's going absolutely everywhere. It's going in the water, in the soil, and it's accumulating in the food chain, or looking at some research I've done just recently, it's in the food chain, Garth, especially in things like oysters and scallops and mussels and crustaceans. And our rice and crops and stuff like that is all this polluted soil with all these heavy metals. we're looking at one of the main targets of, say, cadmium, which is the kidneys, Garth. Yes. Once your kidneys start to go, you're in big trouble, buddy boy. Yes. When your kidneys start to break down, you're going to get a whole body dysfunction. You're going to get very, very, very big problems all over your body. Which is going to lead to a breakdown of your entire system and a lot of diseases. So I hate to say it, Gus, but it's, the deeper you kind of look into this, it's very scary. And
it's eugenics.
It is, but it's so much deeper. Every time I look into it, Garth, I just want to walk away, but I've got to keep researching. But I'll put a paper up later, Garth, and I sent you this is by Clifford E. Carnicom. It was done on January the 18th, 2014, and it's called The New Biology, and we're going to get into this soon, about how through these GM crops and these sprays and this stuff is changing our makeup, Garth, our biology and DNA. He's talking about this Morgellons disease, Garth, that it's perceived that it's it's generally a human condition, but according to these latest studies, Garth, it's actually not. They're saying that it's representing a fundamental change in the state and in the nature of biology. And so it's a lot to go into this paper, but there's pictures and things up here, Garth. But what I'm getting from this, they're just showing some views here of potatoes and stuff. They're saying that these Morgellons type fibers or this type of disease or whatever it is, they're trying to raise money for. They've got the DNA of this, Garth. They've got the DNA, but they're just trying to work out. It's so confusing, and they're trying to raise funds to find out what this is. But these fibers, Garth, that cause this Morgellons and stuff, they appear to be in our food, in potatoes and carrots and everything. They've got these pictures here where they're looking under the microscope, and the same growth patterns, Garth, that are causing Morgellons and stuff are in the vegetables.
Yeah, well, they're calling it a cross-domain bacteria that is extremely resistant to extinction. What it is, what it does is it actually grows itself a shell like a tortoise and encompasses itself into a shell. They call it an enclosing sheath or filament, which further serves to house and transport these same bacteria. And this sheath or enclosing filament also exists in most primitive form at the submicron level. And it's a resilient sheath that protects them and makes them almost resistant to extinction. And that's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, he's saying in this particular study that cows and calf livers have been examined, and they're showing the presence of this identical filament and bacteria-like structures. So they're saying the growth forms are not unique to just human species, as I said before, Garth, that it seems to be in the entire food supply, and animal and plant kingdoms are under consideration here, and they need to study it, but they've found it in the cells of these things. This thing that whatever it is that they're spraying on us, that's going in us, it's in the fabric of nature, whether you're eating organic food or not, which is a huge worry. And as we talk about, Garth, these things could be self-replicating, so they're never going to go away ever. They're just re-replicating themselves in the soil, in the plants, in us, in the insects, in the very fabric of nature. The makeup of nature is now definitely not what it was before. We are all on a planetary basis being changed.
As Dr. Reamer, when you spoke to her last week, suggested that it's even in the clothes, from the cotton, from
definitely.
The GE-engineered cotton. Now, it's definitely what you're saying appears to be, you know, a very strong case towards the fact that when you start mucking around with nature, like, for instance, like Monsanto is doing, and they're genetically engineering all these crazy plants that are doing all these things. So you make the cotton, you make it into clothes, and it seemed to me that's why, as you said, she'll be coming on again to talk to us, or she talked to you last week, but I'd love to ask her some questions on that.
Yeah, she'll
I'm
be
very
on,
interested in
with
that,
us next
and,
week
and
again,
particularly, yeah, that's going to be very interesting as the information that she's gathered so far on that. So it's not only in our food supply and in the air, it's also in our clothes. So these things, maybe I'm starting to think a little bit like this transhumanism, where they're trying to create human biological parts, you know, this madness, which you said we'll talk about a little bit later, which we will, but it's crazy that maybe this is what they're onto.
Well, this is, as this the article I read before, Garth, was called The New Biology. And so it seems that these crazy plants, as you said, and all this stuff that they're bringing in is going to be resistant, obviously, to what they're taking out. Our natural, you know, life, and our natural plants and our natural life forms in nature are all being swiped away.
Isn't it?
And they're bringing in this new biology as they adapt us to it. And as we talk about, the scary scenario is that all the only food that may be available to us soon, you know, may very well be GM, because we've all got it in us. All of us have eaten it. That's why they're so big on, you know, not letting us have labeling, Garth. You know,
yeah,
people think that they're GM free in their bodies. You're not. It's in all of us. And it's, you know, with these farms that it's spreading on, Garth, when it's going on to other farms that are organic, like this marsh character, these GM Monsanto crops are designed to spread. That's what they do. They're designed specifically to spread, like a cancer does in our bodies, Garth. It creates pathways. It's working, as you said, probably with the HAARP and probably with the sprays. They're self-guiding, and they go up, and they, you know, this guy that I was listening to talking about the weather patterns, Garth, he said that, you know, there's absolutely less sunlight reaching the planet now with this dimming that they're doing. And, you know, that it's obvious that on these heavy days where they spray this stuff, Garth, HAARP can engineer these storms to move in as they bring it down to the ground on top of our heads. You know, we're living in a game, a futuristic game we know nothing about, as this stuff's done to us on this, you know, this is a stealth killing of humanity, Garth, and we don't know anything that's going on. Looking at this, what I found interesting in one of these papers, Garth, on the Morgellons, it seems under microscopic, a closer looking with these bacteriums, and this is good news for us, Garth. They're saying that the inhibition of growth of this so-called Morgellons condition in a cultured type of environment, they're saying they've achieved it, Garth. That means they've been able to inhibit the growth of this Morgellons in a laboratory. And they're saying the primary agent seems to be a series of antioxidants, the top one being ascorbic acid, vitamin C, and L-cysteine, which is an amino acid. So we do have hope, Garth, just there. So I would say, looking at this, to go and take your ascorbic acid tablets, because that's what they used in these studies, which inhibited this growth, Garth, from continuing. It almost blocked it off like we can with cancer cells. So, you know, I'm definitely going to take my vitamin C powder more now, and I try to take my antioxidants, but this seems to be something good for us to do because, you know, it's a terrible thing. And, you know, we don't know where it is. We're breathing it in. It's going everywhere. But if we can take these things to help ourselves be healthier, it's all we can really do, Garth.
Yeah, well, they've been talking about nanotechnology for years. You know, I remember years and years ago where they actually said that they would create these little things that could go into your body and, you know, fix things up, which is a lot of crap. You know, you can't do that to the human being. The human being has to have, you know, everything that's natural around him, and particularly good food, good clean water, air, etc., etc. And the human being will exist for a period that his biological time clock tells him. You know, when it's time to go, mate, the old use by date on the forehead. That's it. That's it with us. But what they're doing, they're changing everything. They're stuffing everything up.
Well, that's energy, isn't it, Garth? I mean, if we coincide together as a human species in a natural way with nature, that's all an energy source. It's all energy, and it gives us what we need, and it gives nature what it needs. But obviously, this path they're taking us down, you know, it's going to make us sicker and sicker, and it's going to make our vibrational frequencies, our positive vibrational frequencies, kind of die off and fade off as they merge us with these machines, which is coming. Garth, I sent you the. I don't know about this guy. I find him pretty fascinating. He's written a new book called Trans Evolution. His name's Daniel Estulin. He studies.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of him. He was tied up with the Bilderberg Group.
He studies Bilderberg Group, and he released that report in 2005. It's called The Future of Humanity, and it's called Strategic Trends Report, Garth, which I picked up on the internet. And it's sort of an idea that the Bilderbergers were talking about this integrating humanity with technology. And so he was talking about robotics, artificial intelligence, life extensions, brain enhancements and implants, you know, virtual reality, teleportation, genetic engineering, implantable data, mind chips, robotics, all this stuff. And what was interesting, probably the main thing he's talking about, Garth, is this synthetic biology. That's where it all is, isn't it? It's the changing of our DNA, and he stated through GMO crops. And what was scary in this talk that I listened to, an interview with him, Garth, he was saying that because these GMO crops are changing the DNA of us humans, he reckons we're on the verge of our teenage children now being the last truly human generations of children on this planet, as their DNA and human makeup has been altered and changed forever. So he was talking about it's going to bring a big dilemma, because when these children's makeup and their DNA has been changed, whose children in the future will they be? I don't know. It's very scary what he's talking about, and I don't like to put out a lot of fear. I like to analyze this stuff, but they're definitely going down this path, Garth. But he's talking about, you know, it's cost trillions of dollars to develop this technology. It's not cheap, and that's what the elites are working on. You know, all this downloading our consciousness into a computer. And that's the vision of Google, Garth. They've come out with that Google, that they're looking at downloading people's consciousness and into a computer. But he was also bringing up the fact that our bodies are going to reject these kind of augmentations, Garth. You know, this merging with the machines, because whenever they try to do this stuff to our body, whether it's drugs or they try and put a microchip, I know of stories I read last year, Garth, about the animals now, the dogs and cats who have got microchips in their necks. They're starting to get cancer tumours around there because the body's rejecting the chip that's in their bodies. So he's saying we're going to need very dangerous, addictive and expensive drugs to counteract this kind of changeover, Garth. You know, and he stated that, you know, of course the media will push all this and make it normalised as we get merged. And, you know, he's saying people will, who are sick and getting old, upgrade their body parts to a synthetic sort of robot or these types of forms of technologies, Garth, which is interesting. And we saw that in Elysium, which I showed you the movie with Matt Damon. We watched it, remember? And they made him like a machine. This is all being brought in through the television as well. But he's saying once they, you know, we start to go down this road, they can control and shut off our eyes and limbs and hearts and control our brains and our thoughts.
Well, they're already doing it. I mean, I've got two knees. got two bionic knees, mate.
Yeah, I mean, but this is different technology, guys. But I guess people, well, it's, you know, they it's will, a lead. They will swap. You know, they
it's
will.
It's a lead into it, isn't it?
This is a new robotic body parts, Garth. You know, and he's saying we're on the verge now of this, and we've got these elderly people now are swallowing these microchip tablets, so the doctors can keep track of their inner health and their sleep patterns and all this stuff. We're wearing this stuff; it's all coming.
Yeah, but not only that, they can keep track of when. Are they taking their medicine? And now, isn't this interesting?
Yes, and where they're going, what they're eating, what they're taking, and if they're taking the right dose.
You got to take the right medicine and the right dose, because all this is, all this equals profit.
It does, and that's what it's about, yeah. But as I said, Garth, it costs them trillions of dollars.
But they got the money.
They've got the money from us. We're the slaves.
They certainly have got it from us.
Yeah, as you said last week, you know, our intent, our sweat, our blood, our tears to create work creates money, but that's not worth it. But it's for them. That's what this is all about. You know, they're taking our money through our blood and sweat.
Well, that's right, because some 6,000 years ago in Egypt, they figured out a system where they could control the blood and sweat and tears of the human people. Yeah. And they figured out that, and they did that through gold and gold and silver, and it hasn't changed since, and that was 6,000 years ago. So they control ourselves today through – it's all a move from gold to paper money. And you've got a $50 note in your pocket, and the bloody thing is useless. It's worthless. And it's only useless because the government tells everybody that it's worth this amount of money. But there's no energy in that. It's created out of nothing, out of thin air. And this is a classic of how they've used us to create our own demise.
Yeah, it's interesting in this transhumanism book that he's talking about. He's stating in this report by the Bilderbergers that around 2036, 50% of the entire world's population will be basically living in urban areas, not rural anymore. And he reckons it's going to swell to around 10 billion. So by about this 2036, there'll be lack of food and water and medicine, education, everything, Garth, and obviously the increases we talk about with the crime. And they're expecting this, or they're drawing this up, this total collapse of society. And we do have this tiny amount of this super parasitic elite, Garth, living in absolute opulence while this happens to us. But he seems to think, which is interesting in this book, I don't agree with all of it, that these countries, Garth, will become city-states as the cities expand to this terrible proportions, you know. So, you know, that kind of makes sense to me, that these cities, as everyone gets drawn into them and our land gets made sort of barren, these places will become sort of city-type states.
Yeah, well, what they're doing, and which they've already done in America, I've seen a map of it, and all these so-called national parks, and they're doing it out here. You know, I mean, in the area I'm living in now, the Wollongat, for the last 300 years, ever since old Captain Cook put his butt on this land, has been a source of timber. And after they've raped and pillaged this place here, the Wollongat, for 300 years, the government gave it back to the people as a national park. And then they created laws where you can't use it. It's a sick joke, you see. But what they're doing is they're slowly taking over the lands, and lots of land. And we've seen that with the latest thing on Julia Gillard's carbon tax, where they're buying our huge farms and they're putting them in as carbon sink tanks.
Yeah.
And making money, not growing food, but I don't know where they get the money from, but they're getting the money by buying and putting these productive lands as carbon sinks. And this is what it's all about. It's to take the food from us.
Yeah,
to take the food from our mouths.
Well, not take it, Gus, but exchange it for this.
Exchange it to GM food.
Yeah, exactly.
GM food.
To just swipe it out, just pull it out over time and exchange it with this stuff that I said is changing our DNA.
Well, we've only got to have a look at wheat.
Yeah, exactly. The worst of all. And if it's not bad enough, they're still genetically tampering with this wheat, you know, and it's unbelievable that people, human beings, are eating this.
As I said, Garth,
with the cows that are eating the genetically modified corn meal and these things in the feedlots, their genetic makeup is being changed forever. There's no way back.
And see, one of the great dumping grounds is not only with the stupid people, and I'm going to say that's, and I'm not saying that I think I'm any better than anyone else. I'm saying that because they're stupid. And it's the only way I can explain it. They go in and they buy this crap at these supermarkets. Okay, well, that's their decision. But I was reading an article a little while ago where it's killing our pets. And they're putting all this genetically modified food into pet food. And, I mean, you've got genetically modified wheat and soya and all that crap. And it's we've already stated on this podcast that when they're testing with animals in these laboratories, that the moment they introduce genetically modified food into these animals, they start developing massive cancers and die.
Yeah.
So here they are. This is a corporations that are selling this food to our pets. You know, I don't give a shit what people drink and eat. They can do what they like. They're supposed to have a brain. They're supposed to be able to do something, go in and logically assess it and say, is this good or bad? So these morons, these people who go into Woolworths and all these companies and buy this crap, deserve to die. And I'm going to be, I'm saying something here pretty tough. But what I'm going to say, you've got no right to do that to your children or your animals.
Well, the
problem, do it to yourself, for Christ's sake. Get rid of you.
The problem here, Garth, in that issue that you're talking about, particularly in this country, because we generally only have genetically modified rapeseed oil, which is called canola oil, which is used as a engine lubricant. It's highly toxic. I don't think many Australians eat the stuff anyway.
It's in everything.
Well, it's yes.
It's in everything, mate. You've
just hit the nail on the head. That's what I was getting to. It's in everything. But that's the only thing they really have. But I check all the products in the supermarket, and it is a big problem that they've created. And they know this is happening, that it's made in Australia. Everything's made in Australia. You know, the tomato sauce is made in Australia. It's Australian made. And then you turn it over and it says, yeah, Australian tomatoes. And then underneath it says, a mix of local and imported ingredients.
Yeah.
So the problem for us is the imported ingredients and what it is and where it's coming from. These are small ingredients, yes, but it means that you're getting your daily dose of these GM modified products. So, as I said before, it's in everyone. In all of us, in
well,
our products,
and we won't be imported soon, mate.
Yeah,
it won't
it will
be imported soon with that weak, gutless, spineless Western Australian government in that beautiful, beautiful area south of Perth, where all those great organic farmers, you know, are making a living or battling to make a living, well, and they've introduced this Monsanto horror over there.
They, as I said, Garth, they only need one farm in an area like that, because that the Monsanto crops, whether it's the rapeseed or whatever it is, the wheat, it's designed by Monsanto to spread.
Designed to kill.
It's designed to spread. And when it gets up into the atmosphere, it's it forms shape almost like a... It almost has like a hive mind, Garth. As I said, this could be controlled through HAARP.
Well, there's we more don't know, gallons. But
yeah, it's yes, and it's going on people's crops who are being sued. But once it gets on your crop, you're gone. This is cancer, Garth. This is cancer, like exactly the same. Cancer creates pathways in the body, all around your organs, as quickly as it can to destroy you. When you take anti-cancer substances, it blocks the cancer from spreading, so the cancer will self-terminate. But this stuff, yeah, it's definitely designed to spread, and that's what they're not getting into. They're just sort of saying, well, Joe Blow next door's got a genetically modified crops and it blew on my property. It's designed to blow on your goddamn property. That's what they designed it for. And it's designed to cure us.
That's why the courts in America are upholding Monsanto.
Monsanto.
Yeah, the courts are agreeing with Monsanto. They own them. They're upholding Monsanto, and who's allowed to sue other farmers. Here's the seed blowing on their block, you know, and destroying their own crops. Like this guy in Australia, you what's his name?
Phil Marsh, I think.
Phil Marsh. How's that case going?
I haven't checked lately. I'll check tonight. I'm not sure. I haven't heard any news on it.
I checked last week and I couldn't find anything.
The government must be scratching their head because everyone's waiting on
Perth
what happens here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a total police state, Western Australia, Garth.
Of course it is.
Total police state. Yeah, totally screwed up over there. They've just Tony Abbott and his boys, Garth, they've just outlawed protesting in Victoria.
Yeah, I saw that.
They've made it illegal in Victoria, in this country, in Australia, supposed to be a democratic society, illegal to go out on the street and protest.
But you see, it's much of the same, because if you go back 25 years, Joe Bjelke Petersen, who was the state prime minister of Queensland.
Premier.
Premier, yeah, that's the word I'm thinking of. Couldn't get it. Alzheimer's. It's all that bloody chemical spray. Anyway, old Joe. They used to call him Brown Paper Bag Joe, because he used to accept so many bribes, and he had something like around about 20% of the vote of Queensland. And he stayed in there for some 20 years.
Oh, God.
But anyway, Joe didn't like people like our friend today, Mr. Rabbit Abbott. Doesn't like people, and so did Howard. They don't like dissent. You see, you've got to be politically correct. Now, this is interesting. Here we go. I just would love to... A friend sent me this on political correctness, and I think it's one of the most... It was evidently a young student wrote it, and I don't know his name or anything about him, but I'll just very quickly talk this about what's happening in this country today, about this political correctness and how we can't speak out, we can't do anything, we can't say anything, we can't even get out and say, well, we don't agree with you guys. And they call this country a democracy. It's like in Israel. You know, they call Israel a democracy, the shining light of the democratic shining light in the Middle East. Well, I'm going to say crap. So here we go. Political correctness. Let's have this little very short thing on political correctness. This young guy evidently wrote this. I'd love to know who he was. I'd go and shake his hand. He said, political correctness is a doctrine fostered by a delusional, illogical minority and promoted by mainstream media, which holds forth the proposition that it is entirely possible to pick up a piece of shit by the clean end.
Yeah. That's the illusion, isn't it?
It grabbed me. I couldn't believe that. He just summed it up so well. So here we have this political correctness, you see. What they're trying to do is engineer us through the media into a politically correct little shithead.
You just said the word, Garth, engineer us. Not only through our genetic makeup, but through the media, through molding our minds on every single level, engineer. That's what it's all about. Engineering us, steering us away from our designated or original origins or path or natural path through this system. That's what they do so well, isn't it?
They do, and they're doing it so well. Yes, that's right. And when I mentioned, you know, some 6,000 years ago in Egypt, and now this is not me. This is Joseph Farrell. Yeah. If you want to ever read his book, The Babylonian Banksters, go and buy the thing and learn something. Joseph talks about this going way back some 6,000 years, how they controlled our money. And that's what happened.
Looking at some of this stuff, Garth, I'll ask you this. There's quite a bit in it, and then I'll get your opinion on this because it interests me, you know, very much. Looking at this, these elitists seem to want to design the human being in a laboratory, you know, with these synthetic genes. In that book, he was stating these are going to be like inserted bacterium, you know, where they'll strip most of the original DNA out, you know, and substitute it which they call it exonase, which are not what he's saying biodegradable. And so we will talk about that before, that in the future, these parents will be able to genetically select their children and sort of build them block by block, you know, like I want this, I want them to be smart, I want them to be fit, I want them to be that. But that also gives these elites through the corporations the ability to shut you off or do whatever they want if they control your genes. And as we said before, who will own them? But I know you've read all these incredible books. If you look at Lloyd Pye, if you look at Sitchin and Sarian, all this stuff, although they're writing different types of books, if you look at it, it seems that right through our ancient past, it seems that that whatever has been here, whether you call them greys or extraterrestrials or reptilians or whatever they are, whatever entity, whatever force is on this planet, it seems that they've always been interested in our makeup and our DNA. And you talk about that a lot, that in our ancient past, it seems like when they genetically modified us or changed us, they missed something, or they couldn't do something, or they didn't have the technology at that time to do something. And do you think that this is something to do with our souls, with our spirits, and that, you know, because we always talk, they're talking about transferring our consciousness into an artificial, you know, carrier, computer or robot. How will they be able to disconnect or separate our spirit, you know, from our consciousness in our minds to do this? How do you think they're going to be able to do that? Because looking at a lot of these UFO abductee stories and what we talk about, the third force, from the Veterans Today articles, they've got these underground bases where, you know, it seems to be people may think they're being abducted and taken to another planet, which Alex Collier claimed, that's what happened to him in his book. But I would guess these people are being taken to these bases because a lot of people who've come out and written books and talked about this say, like Phil Snyder, Garth, who was murdered. He worked on these underground bases. He claimed that he'd come face to face with these tall creatures, these greys, as they call them. And it seems to be from all this evidence that they're breeding these human sort of hybrids under there, under this. And this woman who was abducted, who was a psychic, said that these creatures who are breeding these hybrids looked exactly human, but she could tell that they weren't. And it seems to, and some people say that they've had abduction experiences where these things, they feel like they, they were trying to take their souls almost. And that interests me because it seems to be, no matter how, if you look at Sarian and all these people way back in history, it seems that they've been not only tampering with our DNA, if you just look at that, it seems to be the big number one here. They seem to be trying to work on us like a carpenter, Garth, with his tools, like a surgeon. They're trying to work on us. They want something from us. And I wonder that, you know, like, as you said, you know, in a few podcasts ago that we did, that if they can sort of, combine our consciousness and take away our spirit maybe to this reality, as they merge us with machines, we're finished. You know, and I was just wondering about that. Do you think that these aliens, Garth, if that's whatever you want to call them, greys or reptilians or whatever, do you think that maybe an option could be that in their ancient past they compromised or exchanged their souls for high technology, which they seem to have, and now they're sort of feeding on us for ours, or they want that back, or maybe they never had them, I'm not sure. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a great point, actually, what you just brought up, that last sentence. I think it's a great point because maybe they are. And
They call it the soul snatchers, Garth. The soul snatchers,
that's right.
On the greys, yeah, that they're snatching our souls or building or making some type of equipment where they can...
Well,
separate it or take it or whatever. I don't know, but it seems
There's information out there from certain scholars that have studied this, and I'm not going to say they're right or anything. What I'm saying is that the greys are virtually hybridized. You know, they're a bit like what they're programming for us.
It seems like they're us in the future, and it's almost like they've come back from their future to our past,
so it
or
makes
what we
sense.
Think is our future. Yeah,
that's right. So
they're
interested in
something we have.
Yeah, well, years ago, remember you read the book? It was the goodness, it was so long ago. That book, they were talking about holographs. We're going back, you know, 15, 20 years. Hmm. Holographs and stuff like that. One Light.
Oh, yeah, One Light book by John Whistler. That wasn't his name, but a very hard book to get, Gus. It's very, very, almost impossible to get that book now. I have a couple of them. Yeah, incredible.
Very interesting, wasn't it?
Very, very interesting, yeah, yeah.
And what we're seeing today is actually what's happening.
It is, and this is what David Icke's talking about as well, listening to some of his new talks, Garth. I think his new book is The Perception Deception, as I told you, 1,000 pages. But he's getting into this whole energy thing, Garth.
He always has been, yes.
He's calling these greys or whatever. He says it's sort of the same thing. He calls them the Archons, and he's saying that this whole kind of state of reality or whatever you want to call it that we're stuck in now is kind of like a distortion, like a distortion frequency. So he's saying everything's sort of upside down and the wrong way around. You know, he's saying that, you know, for example, doctors destroy health and the lawyers destroy the justice and the system and the schools destroy the children's minds and the police are corrupt. So everything we think is good and wholesome is wrong. So we're living in this kind of distorted reality, which... Now, I mean, he's saying it's like a, you know, like a tornado that draws everything into it, and what we call the third force, or these aliens, or reptilians, or greys. He's saying they're kind of like a distortion in this system, in this matrix, if you want, and that's what I was thinking about when I heard his talk. You know, are we feeding this distortion, this almost black hole, with our fear and these wars and death in this type of a system that we're living in, and we're never peaceful, we're always angry and upset, and we always talk about this third force, that we're feeding it with this fear, and you know, that's what I was thinking about, Garth. Are these greys and stuff, are they sort of like, if people see them, are they just putting on like a type of form, but are they energy in their essence?
Everything is energy.
Yeah,
everything is energy.
When you die, you become energy again, but people who are very attached to their loved ones see what we call ghosts, in that
well, that's
form.
Emotional.
That's an emotional attachment. You're remembering that, but what you're really seeing is energy behind that form, that figure. And is that what these things are, Garth? Are they a type of energy, whether good or bad or whatever you want to call it, the devil, whatever you want? Is it just sort of the same thing? But is he sort of right here where we're being sort of drawn into this sort of energy? And as we always talk about, can we change this whole thing? Because even when we protest, we've seen in the Ukraine, Garth, and a lot of these big radio shows who are spreading fear and they want people to attack the government, that's all just making it worse. Can we change this whole system
that we're looking at,
Garth, with love?
No, this is the evolution, as far as I know, understand, it's the evolution of the human species at the moment. And this is the way we're going to go because we can't get out of it. And we were actually born as slaves.
Well, David Icke seems to think that, you know, looking at this system, that we can get out of it, Garth, but we'd all have to do it together and create a different vibrational field with this more positive energy.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I don't agree with David Icke.
Mm, it's interesting. It's interesting.
You know,
concept.
I mean, he definitely has something there, but it's not going to happen because there's too much media out there. You see, when we went from the tribal systems to the what we call now civilization, which is our downfall, you see, civilization is the downfall of man. And it would have been much better and healthier for us to stay in the tribal systems because we don't need this technology, not in our third dimensional bodies. We need to live amongst nature. We need to live and understand nature. That's the reason we're here for, is to understand nature and what it is all about, the energies of nature. I'm not talking religion here. I'm not talking any other stuff. I'm just talking basics, survival in nature. And I think if we did that, which we used to do years ago, when there was a period when mankind was happy, you know, and that's now gone because civilization came into the problem. And there's quite a lot of authors that have written about this. It was the fact that, you know, once we started to deny our true evolution, and we came controlled by others, which is they call a meme, M-E-M-E, which is an element of culture or system of behavior that may be considered to be passed from one individual to another by non-genetic means. It's imitation.
Yeah.
And this is civilization. It's imitation.
Well, I tend to agree with you there, Garth. I mean, in that Trans-Evolution book, Daniel Estulin, you know, he's telling you all about this type of technology, but what you just said before I would tend to agree with because he's saying, well, in a way we need the technology, but I don't think as human beings we need it. I really don't. I don't think we've ever needed it. I just think that we're being brought up with this and thinking that's normal, but he's saying that it can be a great thing. And yeah, but, you know, if you think, oh, I can text this person and that person and we've got this technology and the surgeons can use it and all this stuff, yeah, that's fine. I really don't know, like, in with so many people on the planet, maybe technology is a good thing, but I just tend to think that you're right there, that in a way we need it in parts that we can control, but we don't want it to control us. But if you look at the bigger picture, I don't think we really need it as human beings. I think on this planet we have everything that we need. But as you said, we're stuck now. We're not getting away from this technology and we're being sucked into it like a black hole. We're getting sucked into the black hole of technology and there's no way out for us, Garth. And that's what he did say in the book, Trans-Evolution, that there's no way out for us. We are going to get it whether we like it or not, and we are going to be merged and become one with this technology as it starts to think for us.
Well, Michael Sarian wrote in his books, and he said this goes way back to Queen Victoria when John Dee, who was the original 007, because they were controlled. What people have to understand out there was that the Queen Victoria, so-called royalty, which is not royalty, it was the black nobility, parts of the black nobility and the Rothschilds bloodlines in that so-called royalty, which is a lot of crap, It doesn't exist. It's Rothschild's bloodline. And what they did, they had the Rothschilds for a couple of centuries, had the greatest in Europe, trans-Europe media information, you know, if you like, to get from A to B. Like we have it today. I'm so used to it. You know, you can get up, pick up a telephone and ring overseas.
Well,
you couldn't do it then.
Yeah,
but what they
did, they had
people on horseback, people on boats, people this, people told. So the Rothschilds were the greatest at the time information media then, right? This was in the Queen Victoria time.
Everything came from them.
Yeah. Now, the interesting side of that, John Dee was closely associated with Queen Victoria. And according to Michael Sarian, who wrote a number of books, quite a few books, and he considers himself an occultist, but which occultism is merely the search for knowledge. You know, and knowledge is hard because if you have knowledge, you have power. So, you know, people say, well, they're cultists, so there's something sick about them, but there's not. You know, it's a slur on the word, because an occultist is somebody, a real occultist is somebody who is searching for real knowledge, in actual fact, truth. And Sarian said that John Dee, who was an occultist, but there's different types of occultists. We've got to understand this. There's good and bad ones. And we've seen that in the Judaic religion through the Talmudic laws. Now, if you read parts of the Talmud, you understand it's not very nice. I'll leave that one alone at the moment, and we'll go back to John Dee and Michael Sarian. And evidently, Michael Sarian said that John Dee threw a porthole. Now, that's beyond my capabilities of understanding. But he said through a porthole, he contacted a dimensional energy. That means a dimensional intelligence. And they gave an agreement between, they need the human race to feed off. This is very interesting because it's an energy thing.
Yes, it's energy. Yes.
And Sarian says that Dee agreed with these people to give the energy of the humans on this earth in exchange for technology. Now, when we look at the Queen Victoria era and we look at today and the massive, massive change in technology, one can only think that maybe Michael Sarian was correct.
So would you tend to agree with David Icke on these things being a form of energy that we're all being sucked into with this negative state of being?
Yes.
And wars and death and horror and hating one another. It seems that it's just making this force bigger, Garth, this third force or whatever you want to call it, as we all get sucked into it. And what it seems to be becoming is a machine.
Yes.
Of some type.
I'll give you a little excerpt from a guy called Eric Fromm. He wrote the book The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness. And he went right into it. And he says this. He says, man differs from the animals by the fact that he is a killer. He is the only primate. Now, this is interesting. Primate that kills and tortures members of his own species without any reason, either biologically or economic, and feels satisfaction in doing so. It is this biological, non-adaptive, and non-phylogenetically programmed, this is interesting, malignant aggression that constitutes the real problem of the danger to man's existence as a species. Now, you know, when you think about that very short paragraph.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man's phylogenetically programmed.
Genetic again, now, DNA. We go back to.
We were talking about the moon. We were talking about what's. Yeah. Yeah. Malignant aggression that constitutes the real problem and the danger to man's existence as a species. Now, this is incredible, you know, when you look at that, and he is a killer. He is the only primate that goes out to kill for satisfaction.
Has that, you think, Garth, been interwoven into our DNA through these tests that these ETs have performed on us in our ancient past? Do you think that, because there is evidence that we did exist in some type of golden age, or there is evidence to exist through these great authors that we, at some stage, they've come here, this force, whatever it is, has come here and manipulated us and changed us on a genetic level? Is this part of it, this dark encoding?
I think it is. I think our DNA it has been tampered with.
Yeah, so it's in.
There's no two ways about
it. It's like we always say, Garth, even if you're a good person, and it's in there, isn't it? Even if you become self-aware like us, and you, as you get older, you become aware, but as that happens, you become a better person. But you're always aware of that darkness in you that you've said before gives you negative thoughts. And then you stop and go, hang on, why am I thinking like that? There's something in there that's always bubbling up to make us think in a negative or violent or horrible state of mind. And that's what do we have, Garth, with the television and the pornography and these movies, which are just making us so violent and so hateful.
Well, so they're preying on it.
Yeah, it's obviously they're preying on it and they're eating it with a spoon, Garth, whatever
this is.
Because
when you go back, you know, some of the religions state, particularly the Catholic religion, states the, you know, we have original sin. So all of our children are born with what they call original sin. But I don't see it that way. I think it's
DNA's
been part of our
with.
DNA, which I call, and I will agree with, and I could be wrong. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm saying with 1984 author
George Orwell.
Yeah, Orwell. Yeah, right. He called it doublethink. And when you look at today, and you look carefully around you. Now, doublethink is psychopathic, you see, because they describe doublethink as two sets of moral standards that a person is very comfortable with and can run with. And that is, I think, original sin, because it seems to be in us as people that we can have two sets of moral standards and be comfortable with both.
It's like the information we're receiving is going in through our minds and it's being changed internally through maybe our DNA, and then it's spitting back this different way of thinking than what we would normally naturally think.
Well, yes and no, but I'll definitely go along with that. But some people say that it's from birth.
It's in there, always.
You see, because we're brainwashed.
Yeah.
All of us are brainwashed by our governments to be politically correct. And that's why I thought that statement that I referred to earlier was so great. It really described it. Now, we are not politically correct people, but when you force people to be politically correct, and that's what they're doing, like the marches in Melbourne, the marches in Brisbane. Not so much the marches in Melbourne. They passed laws, didn't they, in Victoria?
Well, you can't march now, Garth. You'll just shut up and stay
on
the couch.
Well, as we said, Joe Pajolki did that in Queensland.
Yeah, you just shut up and go to work
and
sleep
and die. He used to bring the police out.
Yeah,
he brought the police out.
Well, now that's here. You shut up. You do what you're told. You don't
is that we have been brainwashed from birth.
Well, most people probably like that, Garth. You know, there's none of these terrorist hippies on the streets now.
Yeah, but we don't like that. It's because we've been told to like
that. We've been conditioned to think we like it.
Conditioned to like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's interesting, Garth. We might finish on this. I know you haven't watched it yet, but this is such an interesting. I put it up on the Kraz Files. It's a new documentary about UFOs. It's called The Mirage Men. I know you're going to watch it, Gar, so I won't go into it too much, but it's just unbelievable, this this was originally from a book, and it's about paranoia, espionage, and psychological warfare, you know, on human beings. And this is by the U.S. military, Garth. And this is going way back. The film,
the Israel military.
Yeah, well, we'll sort of mix up. But this really connected with what I believe, because it's around this Richard Doty, Garth, this scoundrel. You have to watch this movie because even at the end of this film, you don't know, well, who's this guy against? They talked to Linda Moulton Howe, who's a great researcher, and she was very skeptical in the movie, like, what are you guys sort of making? And she sort of said that this system that these FBI and CIA and all these people have created, Garth, it's like a hallway of smashed mirrors with a quicksand floor. I really like that. That's what it is. But this Richard Doty, Garth, he's a former Air Force officer, and he served in the Special Investigation Units in the 1980s. And he was fed into groups within the UFO communities to feed them sort of lies, you know what I mean? So they would think what they sort of were feeding them to think. So it was a very interesting documentary. There was sort of a man who was up on these bases, and he was filming a long time ago, was filming all these incredible spaceships, Garth, coming out of the ground with these beams of light, and they were flying all over the sky, and there's all lights coming out, and he thought that he was seeing UFOs, and that some of these things were actually crashing, Garth, and they were concealing the bodies, the government. What was happening is the American military were working on very high technological spacecrafts, which we would call UFOs. So you can imagine, in the 1950s or 60s, if people saw drones, they would think it was a spacecraft. And so the government didn't really want this guys to take photos and get the information out there of what the type of technology the government were working on. So they were happy that the communities and these UFO communities thought that they were UFOs, and this guy was infiltrating that to feed the information through. But when this guy came to people like Lloyd Pye or whatever, not in the film, but just for example, or people who were much smarter, who were getting into the real nitty-gritty of the UFO, what was really happening behind the government or whatever it was, he would infiltrate them and pretend to be in the movement. And then he would actually hand them documents, Garth, of government documents, of real documents, according to this documentary, of what was going on. And they would read that and go, oh my God, this guy's the real deal, and they would befriend him. And then he would kind of shift their minds, and he would get into the movement, and he would watch and see what they're talking about. Because if he went to UFO meetings or went wherever, and they would, and he would find out that 80% of the information that they were discussing was the information that these secret intelligence agencies were feeding them. So it was absolutely incredible. But we also have in this documentary, Garth, this small percentage of something that they're trying to cover up, which has to do with these extraterrestrials. And they're going through all this a massive amount of energy through this government, particularly in the US, to cover something up, or they wouldn't bother. So that's what the documentary's on. So I put it up on the Kras Files. But as I said, Garth, even at the end, you don't know. This guy claims to be retired and he's just a public member, but you don't know if he's, because they keep saying that he's still turning up to these meetings and he's still watching. So, you know, you sort of wonder yourself, so I put up on the Kras Files, who's watching the watchers? You know, yeah, and who's watching them, and who's watching them, and how far does it string back to? You know,
well, when you look at, you know, if you read some of Joseph Farrell's stuff, which is very, very interesting, because, you know, he goes back to Germany and the Nazis, and they were highly involved in all this because they considered that there was an underground society. That was the Vril, V-R-I-L-L. That was the Vril Society of people that were superhumans, you see. So he discusses all this, and he's got God knows how this guy can write all these books is beyond me, but he goes right back to what he called the Cosmic War, and it was between these ETs. Now, that's also been discussed by a lot of other scholars, you know, who has done the best they can to go into it. And Farrell, the trouble is with reading Farrell's books, he gets very, very scientific. I mean, he's quite a bright lad, and it leaves me for dead. Sometimes I find it very difficult following him, but I tend to go onto YouTube and get him up. When I can understand when he talks on YouTube, it's a lot more easy to follow than his books. His books can be quite difficult to follow because of the jargon and the way he expresses himself. But the summary of the whole thing is that it was basically came to a head when the World War II fighters, the fighter pilots, were over there and they saw all these things in the sky. And he goes into that. So it's been going on a long time, and that's why America took over at the end of World War II all these scientists into America, these German scientists. So it's a technology that goes way back. You know, it goes way back beyond even the Nazis.
Oh, yeah, Garth, as it says in this documentary, you know, the US government created this myth and took over the whole world about UFOs. And you know, for more than 60 years, you know, this has been going on in the US Air Force and Central Intelligence Agencies, and they've exploited and manipulated the beliefs about UFOs and ET visitations. And this is all part of their counterintelligence programs. So they've spawned an entire mythology, Garth. You know, that's warped even the brilliant minds. And they reckon that even today, people are talking about UFOs and websites and stuff that's almost 100% through this CIA or intelligence interactions with these people. And so that's what these people were doing, Garth. So it's unbelievable. But as some of these really smart people within the UFO community are saying, Garth, why would they go to all that trouble if there wasn't anything there? So it brings up the whole incredible issue that, you know, this psychological warfare on the human mind that, you know, they create all these movies with the aliens and all the books and UFOs and they feed it to us. And that's what they, and we've talked about this before, and that's what they said in this film, The Mirage Men, that we would get indoctrinated, Garth. We would get indoctrinated. That's what the intelligence wanted us to do, to get used to this. So then, you know, if I talk to Joe Blow down the road about this, he's just going to say, you've seen too many movies because we're so used to it. You know, if we never saw it and we never saw it in the movies and it was illegal and they never let us see anything like China does, people would want it. But because they're giving it to us in such... he said through the intelligence agencies, Garth, they give huge chunks of real information. Maybe what Alex Jones does. I don't know. And these people, they give you huge chunks of information that's real, the real deal, the scary stuff, what they're really going to do to us. But then there's this whole... shattered, fragmented sort of behind-the-scenes information that they're sort of mixing us up with through all these doorways, but they're leading us like cattle in the wrong direction and away from what's really going on and who's really doing it.
Yeah, well, when you look at, you know, what I mentioned earlier about John Dee, Mr. 007, and Michael Cerian, who wrote about him, and we tend to see that in that period that Michael wrote was that there was a huge development of universities. Now, I'll just briefly talk about that, whereas what happened, they realized that the information that John Dee received through his porthole, they couldn't cope with because this other dimension or this dimensional intelligence that he had contacted, they couldn't understand what they were talking about.
Mm.
And you can understand that. I mean, if for instance, I've never seen a computer, instance, I've never ever, I was born, never seen a computer, and you walked up to me and said, well, have you got a computer? I wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
Same in the 1950s, Garth, if you saw drones just flying out straight out of the ground and then disappearing in 20 different directions with lights, you'd think it was a UFO, but it's not.
Well,
it's
that's
technology
right.
You don't understand yet.
Well, that's right. So how they did it, and this is very interesting.
Incredible.
To me anyway.
Yeah.
It may not be to say. What they did was they created universities to attract the minds.
Yeah, the intelligent
of the
people, yes.
Right. And that's why we have we have all these universities and now thousands of professors.
It's a little bit close for comfort, yeah, isn't it? And, they know us too
and
well.
This is what it's all about.
Yeah, they know us too
and
well.
And slowly over the years, they drag these young people in who have these, instead of encouraging them into what they did, was that they took them in and they helped them because, you know, a child could come from anywhere. I mean, you know, the old thing to think that a royal child is brilliant. Well, there's so many royal fuckwits out there.
That was just
you wouldn't want to believe.
That was just to separate us, Garth. That separation.
That's what they do. But there are so many brilliant people being born daily, and they haven't the access to the information. So what they're doing is they're stopping our development. But what they did was they grabbed these young people with these great minds, and instead of encouraging them to develop the human race.
It's
they're doing it for their own good.
They're de-evolving, Garth.
Their own technology, you see. Their control of technology.
Yeah, through that. Yeah, yeah. And they're just sucking their minds out.
They're sucking their minds and they're putting them in. And there's some brilliant people that have just been lost in this message of total control.
But it shows you, Garth, what I was talking about, this film Mirage Men. You know, this Richard Doty to infiltrate entire UFO movements worldwide with this, you know, this paranoia and espionage and this psychological warfare on the human mind. This guy, when you watch this film, he is incredibly intelligent. He is unbelievable. But these types of minds, Garth, as you said, who go through the university system, who want to do this type of work, they're very useful for the globalists, indeed. They take them for special programming, but this guy really...
an agenda.
Yeah, as
that,
I said...
That was an
I said,
agenda.
You don't even know at the end of it if he's lying or what's going on. Who's the liar here? It's just amazing. I mean, these people are so deep in.
That's why they've taken the universities over.
Yeah, there's obviously, as you said, Garth, there's a lot of millions of students that go through who are just benign or they just go through and they go out like cattle, but there's some that are so smart that can be corrupted by this system. They grab them, they do, and they work in this counterintelligence, in this deep sort of stuff, and they manipulate us or anyone trying to do a good thing. They get in there like a cancer, and they just pretend to be your friend. And, you know, what kind of person could do that? You know, it's just unbelievable how deep this goes.
Because we have this unfortunate part of ourselves that we can be conned. That's it.
Or as Alan Watt calls it, Garth, conology.
Conology.
Yeah. The art of conning.
Yeah. The art of conning.
I love that.
Yeah, he's dead right.
Yeah, it's just a con. Everything's a con.
Alan's a great guy. I mean, I'd really love to go and have a couple of stouts with him. I think he would drink like a stout, I think, Alan. I'd love to shout him a couple of stouts and have a conversation. He's one guy
it's
in this
conology.
World I'd love
he's
to
right
go and talk
ball.
To.
Yeah, listen to Cutting Through the Matrix with Alan Watt. He's putting his blurbs back up, people, and we really enjoy his talks here, and he's right on the money. And it is conology. It's an art form, Garth, of this con.
No matter
where you look, they're just conning us, and it's all being pumped out of that television now, which is their most treasured and greatest tool ever.
I read my little favourite thing from George Bernard Shaw, who actually warned us on inoculations. He told us. He's already written all about what inoculations are going to do to us. So the guy was up there amongst the favourable few. You know, they all were. You know, all these people. I mean, even George Orwell, who wrote 1984, he was a socialist. He was a communist. And the interesting side of that was that he got very disenchanted with it. The more he found out about it, the more he realized. But by that time, he'd accumulated a lot of knowledge. And that's why he wasn't a prophet. He wrote because he knew what was going to happen. And that's the same with Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope and a number of other books, you know, telling us what is virtually – well, he didn't – Quigley didn't tell us what was going to happen. He told us what was happening. in the history. But George Bernard Shaw did make a few prophecies, and one of these is one of my favourite, because I think we all have to understand what they think about us, these people up there. I'll just be very brief. And it says, under socialism, you would not be allowed to be poor.
It's a great quote. Yeah, it really is. It's really sums it up. I'm sure some people will love that now. They'll love it.
You are not allowed to be poor. But he doesn't add anything else into that. He says you would be forcibly fed.
You will be nannied.
Yeah, clothed, nannied, lodged, taught, and employed, whether you liked it or not. If it were discovered that you had not the character and the industry enough to be worth all this trouble, you might be executed in a kindly manner.
Oh, like Bagon on a cockroach, Gareth. You'd be Bagoned.
Yeah, but which they're doing today.
Yes.
They're doing it in a kindly manner with
cancer.
Vaccines.
With their sprays.
The chemtrails.
Yeah, you drink your nice water in the morning when you get up.
Yeah, they're doing it in a manner, you see, because we don't even realise we're dying.
They just kill you off. And you're happy that you're dying, and you'll protect the very system that's killing you.
We got the TV.
Yes.
The TV's telling us that we're all happy.
Yes, as I just said, Garth.
It's spraying all this crap on us.
Yeah.
Shoving in our water and our food. We're happy.
You're happy that you're being killed off.
Yeah, but he says, but whilst you were permitted to live, you would have to live well. George Bernard Shaw. Oh, my God.
All right, Garth, we might plug out now. What do you reckon?
I think so.
That was a great podcast. We will have Dr. Rima Labo on next week to talk about vaccines and anything that she pleases. That will be fun. I'll leave you with this, Garth, this quote, Garth, that I wrote down. Who's manipulating the manipulator? Who is that manipulator? And who's manipulating him? He answers to someone or something. But who or what? And what is behind this design? Who designed it? Is it real or is it fake? We'll talk again next week, Garth.
That's good. Excellent, Adam.
We'll be back next week with Dr. Rima. Garth and Mr. Crash, should be a good talk. We look forward to it. Hope you enjoyed this.
I'd love to. Yeah. Dr. Rima, yes.
Love She's a great to talk lady.
Yeah, love to talk to her.
All right, Garth.